Blog Talk Radio.
Cred from the Med. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on Blog Talk Radio Network. Putting the blah in Blog Talk right here, Conservative Perspective. We do this two times a week. We do it Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And then we do it, we have a recorded version that goes out to the Talk America Radio Network. And you can go to talkamericaradio.org. They have a couple of different streaming channels there. They have the Liberty and the Justice stream, ACP, heard at various times throughout the day and the week on either one of those. And proud to be among those outstanding hosts and programming at Patriot or at Talk America. Patriot Nation's pretty good too. Well, it seems like this has been the standard operating procedure for me for the last few months, and I'm not exactly sure what to make of it. Before we go any further, let me stop right here, right now. I've been remiss, and I'm gonna take care of that here. A special shout out to the Ambers, and the Ambers, of course, are the officially sanctioned belly dancing group of A Conservative Perspective. To my knowledge, the only officially sanctioned belly dancing group, certainly on conservative radio, hell, maybe even throughout the entire internet. And we're happy to have them. Terrific group of girls, and they listen to the show every Thursday. Our friend and producer, Melissa Patrick, show you how talented she is. Belly dancing, but working the board at the same time. And we here at ACP are tremendously grateful for that. So, Ambers, good to have you with us yet again. I'm not exactly sure where to go. And what I was going to say was here for the last couple of months. It seems to be just getting tougher and tougher for me to find some kind of fluidity, some kind of structure for the shows. And I really do try. Now, it may not sound like it when you listen to it because I'm all over the map. But hold on a second. We apparently have a caller. All right, hold on just a minute here. Let me. I think we can probably do that. Let me get some. Well, you're not going to believe this, ladies and gentlemen, but the Ambers, believe it or not, are actually listening tonight, and they heard what I said. So what we're going to do, I'm going to put on this ear plug here. They're wanting to go live and say something, and we're certainly not going to deny them. We're certainly not going to deny them that that opportunity here. Let me push a button and see what the hell happens. Hello, you are on Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hi, girls. How is everybody?
We appreciate you. This is Alexandra with the Shades of Amber. Thanks so much. We're going to share for you.
Well, I appreciate you girls for listening, too. It really does mean a lot to me to know that we got some people out there, even in our community, that are, you know, thinking the right way. So, yes, thank you so much. I appreciate the kind words. And we also appreciate you being the officially sanctioned belly dancers of Conservatives Perspective.
Thank you for allowing us to do so.
Thank you so much, girls. It was good to talk to you.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Wow. No, that was cool. That was there you go. That was the girls right there themselves on live. See, I'm not making any of this up. Those are really people. And, yes, they really are belly dancers. Yes, they slay it, too. They're really good at what they do. Okay, now, let's see. Yeah, I was telling you about, you know, my complete lack of structure, as we see. But, you know, there's just so much happening. And a lot of the time, you just got to be fluid about this stuff because I may have looked at things. Okay, today's Thursday. There may have been something that happened on Monday that, you know, maybe we'll talk about it again. Maybe we'll touch base on it again. And then maybe a bigger story or something else, a bigger event or something more newsworthy. I've only got an hour, you know, and there's a lot of crap. You know, there's only so much you can get in an hour. So it's like trying to throw 5 pounds into a 3-pound bag, and it's tough to do. But I usually get about 3.75, 4 1/4 in there. I'm doing good. So the last couple of weeks, we've been talking. We've kind of gone in depth, and we've traveled down the road further with a couple of common stories. And we may do a little bit of that tonight. I'm not exactly sure. But the one thing that I hit on this weekend, and I didn't mean to hit on it, it was kind of an epiphany, because the public fundamentally has a short memory, myself included. That's why people that were SOB 6 weeks ago or 6 months ago, you know, somehow they can rehabilitate themselves and they find themselves, you know, back into the public's good graces. Not all the time, but a lot of the time that's what happens. And when I was looking at some material last week, and I talked about it on the Tuesday show, and it was like 6 reasons why history is going to prove, and it was an article from PJ Media. Anyway, it was an article of 6 reasons why history is going to determine that Barack Obama's was the worst presidency ever in the history, not only of the United States, but all of Earth and maybe even the Galactic Empire. It's just tremendously that bad. But we forget, you know, it went on for so long. And at first we were shocked. We were appalled. We sat up. We clutched at our pearls. How can this guy be doing all this stuff? This is just terrible. And then after 8 years, you know, there's disgust and there's scandal after scandal after scandal. And nothing ever happens to anybody. Nobody ever gets busted. You know, the worst that ever happens to them is they get convicted in the court of public opinion. But they don't care about that because they're still going to be in Washington either as a lobbyist or, you know, some kind of fat cat money job. So it doesn't mean anything. There's no consequences. And that's pretty uncool. But in looking at this article and kind of refreshing my memory on some of the things that jug-eared community organizer, Yankee commie SOB from Chicago did, And just kind of revamp those 8 years, because this is my sixth year. Yeah, it took me about, I had the idea to do this like for about 2 years, and I goofed off and let my lack of confidence delay me in doing it. But anyway, so I started when Barack Obama won his second term. I knew that that was the impetus for me. I felt like I had something I wanted to say, and this was the forum for me to do it. And you see the result. We've been doing it now for 6 years because I still haven't figured out what it is I have to say. So I just keep saying a bunch of stuff in the meantime, thinking that's what I got to say. But in looking at all that stuff and going back down that road and looking at that crazy dude and all the dumb stuff he said and did, and it's just stupefying. I mean, I look at it nowadays and I'm like, whoa. And so that put me on the path that I'm taking and that you guys are going to walk with me tonight. And that's just about how fundamentally senseless, bereft of intellectual honesty and apparently any intellectual depth in general, the left is. And one of the places we're going to start with, I found this article. And it was funny because it was just like a cascade of stuff came up that showed me all this crazy stuff, big stories and little ones that are epidemic to the left, and more positive things about, you know, we're winning. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Mueller investigation as well, but I don't know when we're going to get to that. It just depends on how, you know, it's up for grabs. Man, this is where we're going to start, and we'll just see what's going to happen. This article, Daniel Greenfield, I read a lot of his stuff, and I share that with you. You can find him at frontpagemag.com. That's an outstanding site, and not just Daniel Greenfield. There are a bunch of terrific writers there. And that's one of my solid go-to sources. Here, just to get back to what we're talking about, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, here are a few things that are effectively legal in San Francisco, and that's drugs, pooping and peeing in the street, and shoplifting. Drugs, pooping and peeing in the street. Shoplifting. Here's some things that are banned or shortly will be banned in the city by the bay. Straws, fur coats, bottled water. No, I'm not making this up. Eating at work, vaping liquids for those electronic phalluses. Upholstered furniture. Yes, upholstered furniture. Plastic bags. Pet stores. Electric scooters, coffee cups, styrofoam peanuts, tropical fish, the damn McDonald's Happy Meal. Yeah, McDonald's Happy Meal. You can't get one in Frisco. If you can think of something, San Francisco has already banned it or will be banning it soon. North Korea, with a tech industry and some leftover Victorian architecture, which, by the way, it is banning tour buses from visiting, has reacted to the collapse of living conditions and fleeing tourists in the city by banning everything except the behavior that's making San Francisco unlivable. During the gold rush, legend had it that the streets of San Francisco were paved with gold. These days, they're paved with poop. After the socialist city legalized public pooping and peeing, a bag of 20 pounds of poop was deposited on the street. He corroded a metal utility pole so badly it fell on a car, almost killing the driver. San Francisco decriminalized public pooping and peeing, but criminalized plastic straw. Bench warrants for public urination are discarded. The straw fines are real and real expensive. A California statewide bill goes further than what Frisco did. The statewide bill holds out a threat of 6 months in the case slam for giving a man a straw. Now, when drugs are legal and straws aren't, are the Mexican cartels going to switch to smuggling drinking straws into California? why ban straws? Well, because straws, according to the San Francisco ordinance, may threaten public health and are bad for the environment. Bad for the environment. Piles of poop in the street are great for public health and the environment, but a Chicago Medical Association disagreed with poop being good for you, and they canceled the big convention they had planned for Frisco. Folks, when Chicago when Chicago thinks that your city is a dirty and dangerous poop hole, you got a problem. You got a serious condition on your hands, cat. But America's greatest experiment with socialism is coping with this collapse by banning everything. The straw ban isn't the last straw. It's one of a series of San Fran bans that would make Kim Jong-un wince a little bit. Now, this particular issue, the straw ban, was the brainchild of Supervisor Katie Tang. The astronauts took her to the moon. Katie was excused from the straw vote because she had to take her bar exam. She was the one who previously put the proposal to ban the sale of fur coats in San Francisco. And in her press release, Katie noted that fur farming contributes to water and air pollution because each mink produces 44 pounds of poo in its lifetime. I got to figure, you know, they're not letting these things grow 10 or 15 years. They're getting them to adulthood and they're skinning them. So 44 pounds of poo in a couple of years. Now, this press release didn't say how many pounds the Board of Supervisors produce in a year, or how much the homeless population that San Francisco's insane government has cultivated produces in a year. But statistically speaking, Supervisor Katie Tang would personally be responsible for around 342 pounds of waste a year, or seven times more poo than a mink would manage over its entire existence. Now, the entire Board of Supervisors, which in true Stalinist style votes 11 to nothing on its insane bans, would directly account for 3,700 pounds of poo. That's worse than an entire mink farm. But they're going to get rid of fur coats. We're not talking about harvesting minks. We're not talking about having a mink skinning and sewing together factory in San Francisco. We're talking about selling mink coats. You go into a really nice store. How can I help you? Yeah, I'm in the market to buy a mink coat. Well, over here's our selection. We have them all hanging up on this rack right over here. Thank you. Okay, that's all they're doing. They're not going out back and the guy's individually picking the minks that he wants killed and put together to make his gun. He's just getting one off a damn hanger. That's all he's doing. But we're not going to sell them in San Francisco. We're not going to generate that revenue because somewhere, wherever the hell it is, they're contributing to air and water pollution somehow. Minks are rabid, deranged animals that bite everything in sight, but millions of them running loose throughout the streets of San Francisco would still do less damage than the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. The homeless population of San Francisco increased by about 1,000 in 6 years. Complaints about poop rose from 5,000, almost 6,000 in 2011, to 18,000 in 2016. A 1,000 individual increase in the homeless people there in San Fran would mean an extra 342,000 pounds of poo. Now, the San Francisco politicians that say don't sell mink coats in town made this noise that if we took all the mink farms in America, they produce 1 million pounds of waste a year. 1 million pounds. Just these tiny little minks running around eating mink food, pooping out their little mink pellets, scampering and scurrying when they're not trying to, you know, bite each other and everything else that comes in contact with them before they get turned into a coat. The homeless people in San Francisco, as it stands now, and it's probably going to exceed this, do 2 million pounds. That's too. Think about that for a minute, guys. 2 million pounds of poop and pee just laying around, collecting up in puddles on the sidewalks, in the gutters, in the streets of San Francisco. Where's it going? Well, you know, some of it's going down in steam grates and it's eventually making its way. And it's being rinsed away. But come on. Now, having said that, and everybody's sufficiently grossed out because we've spent about 20 minutes talking about poop, who's in charge in San Francisco? No, I'm not talking about names because, you know, I don't even know who the hell's in charge. A bunch of wing nuts. What I'm talking about here, of course, obviously, is ideology, party affiliation. Democrats. Who's in charge in Detroit? Google pictures of Detroit. Take a look at what's happened to that once great and commanding city. Democrats. New York, Democrats. Philly, Democrats. Boston, Mass, yeah. Democrats. What does this mean? What is the indicator here? I don't know. But I do know that you don't see those kind of things in cities that are run by Republicans, conservatives. You just don't. That's not how we roll. That's not what we do. That's just crazy stuff. When you have the leaders of a city as great as San Francisco once was, thinking that this is okay. Let's go back and look at some of those things. Okay. Vaping liquids. You can vape. I guess you just can't buy the liquids. You can't eat lunch at work. Wait, what? You can't eat lunch at work. You go into the town, you go into the city, San Francisco, you don't eat lunch at work. You can't have a bottle of water. Well, we already know about the fur coats. They banned upholstered furniture. They banned plastic bags. The Happy Meal. America, they banned the Happy Meal for crying out loud. Okay, these people are crazy. Tell me what's right about this. Tell me where is the public good? Not its intent, because that's another thing about the left. They don't care how disastrously some overblown public entitlement program fails, because they're not looking at success or failure. They're looking at intent. If their intentions are good, then we can spend a gazillion bucks on makeup tutorials for drag queens or that are homeless or, you know, something like that. So, but it's the intention. It's not that the program fails. It's, you know, we had good intentions. So, you know, we can just forget about this and not add this to our track record. We're not looking at successes or failures in our track record. We're looking at intentions. Our intentions are good. Conservatives, on the other hand, pretty concrete. They got the track record. They have established goals that they have achieved or policies or precedents that they've established. You don't see that here. And I think it really doesn't matter what level of politics that we're talking about, or public service, more importantly. I don't think that it's so much, and there's a little bit there, but on a local level, on a community level, with our neighbors, as our buddy Scott Kesterson used to preach so fervently. We need to get up with Scott and see what's happening with the old boy. I haven't talked to him in a long time. Politics and public service, as they have ever been intended to be, are about helping people. Your elected representatives are elected because, number one, ideally, they should have a keen sense of public service, and more than that, have a keen sense of serving their community, because that's why we put them on the city council. That's why we put them on the county commission. That's why we send them to the House of Delegates or the Congress or the Senate, or we send them to Washington. And to me, it's not that difficult. You see, we have in our founding documents, in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, in the Declaration, the founders gave us a turnkey country. We need only avail ourselves of being familiar with these documents. And by the way, you know, in the school system, they're trying to do away with cursive writing. And a lot of people are going, well, you know, okay, that's great. Let me tell you something. If you can't write in cursive, the odds are pretty solid that you cannot read in cursive. And if you cannot read in cursive, America, you cannot read our founding documents. But I'm sure that's probably not intentional. I'm sure nobody really gave any real thought to that. If you got kids in school, make sure they know how to write cursive. Make sure they know how to read cursive. I don't care if you got to do it. There's too many programs out there. You can find something online. Don't argue with me. Get it done. But I digress. Again, that's the thing. If you are familiar with the Constitution, if you know the Constitution, if you understand how our government works, if you understand and you've read the Declaration and why we separated from Great Britain, if you look at the Bill of Rights and what the founders had in mind for the liberties, the ordered liberty of the citizen of this republic, then, you know, fundamentally you can't do anything but be conservative. And the rhinos, Republicans in name only, and the Never Trumpers, and all these guys, they fall by the wayside because they do not adhere to these principles. It's only through adhering to the principles and the standards by which our founding documents have directed us to that we can maintain this country's unique integrity. The last best hope of peace on earth. Well, bottom of the hour. Let me run through here and see if we can find something to listen. Oh, man, I didn't play any of my clips or anything. I guess we'll get those on the other side of the John Acosta, CNN dork, got handed his head yet again by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We're going to get into that and a couple other things to round this out. Well, let us see. Scrolling desperately through the oh gosh, I'm just going to close my eyes and pick something. We will be back with more of ACP after this.
I'm a fellow with a heart of gold, and the ways of a gentleman I've been told, the kind of a guy that wouldn't even harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met that guy that invented the cigarette, I'd murder that son of a gun in the first degree. Now, not cause I don't smoke myself, and I don't reckon they'll harm your health. I've smoked all my life and ain't dead yet. But nicotine slaves are all the same. At a petting party or a poker game, everything must stop while they smoke that cigarette. Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you've just got to have another cigarette. Smoke, smoke, smoke. Puff, puff, puff. In a game of chance the other night, old Dame Fortune was doing me right. The kings and queens just kept on coming round.
Coming around.
I played him hard and I played him high, but my bluff didn't work on a certain guy. He kept on raising and laying that money down.
Laying it down.
He'd raise me and I'd raise him. I sweat his blood, got to sink or swim. He finally called and didn't raise the bet. I said, ace is full, pal, how about you? He said, I'll tell you in a minute or two. Right now I've got to have a cigarette.
He's got to smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death,
tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you've just got to have another cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke.
The other night I had a date with the cutest little gal in 48 states, a hybrid uptown fancy little dame. She said she loved me and it seemed to me that things were about like they ought to be, so hand in hand we strolled down Lover's Lane. She was oh so far from a cake of ice, our smooching party was going nice, so healthy, and I think I'd been there yet.
I'd have been there yet.
But I give her a kiss and a little squeeze, and she said, Phil, excuse me please, but I've got to have another cigarette.
Another cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you've just got to have another cigarette.
Smoke, smoke, smoke.
Oh, St. Peter, I sure hate to keep you holding that gate open. But I just got to have another drag over this cigarette. Mmm, this pretty thing. Mmm. 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 Thank you, Peter. Thank you.
Invitation to a celebration tomorrow night at Lyceum Hall. Go get your glad rags pressed and wear your two-tone vest to the 8th Street Association barbecue and fancy dress ball. Boogie woogie thumping starts the joint to jumping and all them cats is climbing the wall. The party really goes cause things is really froze at the 8th Street Association barbecue and fancy dress ball. There the hoity-toity meets the hoi-polloity. This affair's real farm time. The function goes from 10 until they say amen. How they carry on. Grab your sweetest honey. If you lack the money, the building loan will welcome your call. It only costs an ace to grab yourself some space at the 8th Street Association barbecue and a fancy dress ball. When it's 12 o'clock, they have the grand parade. And when it's 1 a.m., the famous masquerade. And when it's 2 a.m., the festival is spread with the punch bowl, the spare ribs, and the homemade bread. It's pushing 4 a.m., the festival is clean. They start to count the votes to find a beauty queen. And when it's chiming 5, the folks resume their jive. They call a man. They call a man. They want the leader of that band. Grab your sweetest honey, and if you lack the money, that building loan will welcome you call. It only costs an ace to grab yourself some space at the 8th Street Association barbecue and fancy dress ball amalgamated. Old fancy dress ball consolidated. That fancy dress ball incorporated. CHB, the association barbecue. And fancy dress B-A-double-L ball. Some ball.
Ah, Phil Harris. Okay, we're back. ACP, Conservatives Perspective, here on Blog Talk Radio. You go to blogtalkradio.com, and then from there you type in Patriot Nation Radio Network, and you'll find ACP here. We do the live thing Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Then we have a recorded version that goes out over the Talk America Radio Network, talkamericaradio.org. You want to go there, you want to hit the like button, outstanding programming, top flight people behind the microphones there. ACP, of course, proud, honored, and humbled to be moving with those cats, because that's a really big deal, and we're glad to have the show there. Okay, I think at the beginning of the program, I was fundamentally getting ready to... profess my love for Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And I don't care what anyone says, and there have been some people who have said some pretty mean things about Sarah Huckabee. Now, she's the daughter of Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas governor, Republican presidential candidate, a really good guy. He had a show on Fox, too. And there are, you know, lots of press secretaries over the years. If we go back to the time of Nixon, and we run through them, and I don't know that there's anybody who is as effective a press secretary as Ari Fleischer. Was pretty good for George W. Bush, and I can't remember the guy's name for Ronald Reagan the first term. Daggone it. Well, anyway, but when it comes to press secretaries, if I were chief executive and I wanted somebody out there presenting my point of view, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, hands down, no question. No question about it. And she's tough, and the establishment media, they don't like her because she doesn't monkey around, and they don't like anybody in this administration, number one, because they're indirectly, you know, obviously supportive of Donald Trump, and these guys hate anything to do with Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump, and they hate anything, you know, that is associated with him. Well, Jim Acosta, who is, well, he's Jim Acosta. He's the Washington representative for CNN. He's their correspondent there, I guess, is the best way to put that. And he follows the Trump administration, and he's a jerk. And this interchange took place today. Earlier, I guess maybe yesterday, the president tweeted, fundamentally the reference being that the fake news industrial complex, and we know who these people are. Okay, you want to know who's in the fake news business? Well, look at who prints the most retractions after they do a story. That'll tell you who's in the fake news business. So the fake news industrial complex has been working overtime since Donald Trump declared his candidacy. We've been all over that, and you guys know what they're doing. You know, it's just a hatchet job. He's got the target on his back, and they hit him every day, and he just takes it. But he's got these guys in a position to where they're really kind of powerless. I mean, they have a lot of influence, and you know, people take them seriously. Let me put it that way: people take them seriously. Less than on average, a million people. That's it. Watch CNN a night. Think about that. A million people, maybe 1.5, maybe 1.5. 63 million people voted for Donald Trump. That's how they trick you. Radio and TV are such illusory businesses. you know, a good looking business card and a nice headshot on your resume and a good looking letterhead, and boom, you got a, and a microphone in front of a computer like me, and you got a radio studio. You are a radio personality. So again, just like you can't take Jim Acosta seriously, you can't take me seriously either. You got to check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for anything. The difference between me and Jim Acosta is Jim Acosta won't tell you. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. Jim Acosta desperately wants you taking his word for it. That's how he tricks you. That's how the fake news industrial complex sucks you in and winks you. They're all a bunch of phonies and crooks. So let me see if I can find this. How did I have that listed down? I think it's under Sarah. It's just a couple of minutes. And so in the tweet, President Trump basically infers to the fake news industrial complex as they're not my enemies. They're not the enemies of Donald Trump. They're the enemies of the people. Well, okay. You got a room full of kittens. And you turn me loose with a laser pointer. What the heck's gonna? You know what's gonna happen? Those little kittens are gonna be running all over the place, and I'm gonna be laughing my head off. And it is no different. What's happening here is no different. So the president accuses the fake news people of being enemies of the people. And you know what? By God, I think he's right. And I'm not gonna argue with him, and I'm not gonna press that point one way or another. But I'm probably going to be sitting beside him on that side of the fence, nodding my head affirmatively. So he says this, and the press goes crazy, and there's a press briefing today at the White House, and Sarah's killing it like Sarah does, and Jim Acosta, I mean, it's whiny. He is so whiny. He's the guy that they did it again to him. It's like a second or third time Donald Trump goes on these campaign rallies and Acosta's there to cover it. And the Trump supporters will turn around. They'll start yelling. They'll start heckling him. CNN sucks. CNN sucks. Fake news. And he cries. He gets upset about it because he's kind of sensitive over those things. So here's what he had to ask today. And this is Jim Acosta, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, press secretary for the President of the United States. I love you, Sarah. Here she is.
The press is not the enemy of the people. And she asked you whether or not the press is the enemy of the people. You read off a laundry list of your concerns about the press and things that you feel like are misreported, but you did not say that the press is not the enemy of the people. And I think it would be a good thing if you were to say right here at this briefing that the press, the people who are gathered in this room right now, doing their jobs every day, asking questions of officials like the ones you brought forward earlier, are not the enemy of the people. I think we deserve that.
I think the president has made his position known. I also think it's ironic.
I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay, I politely waited, and I even called on you despite the fact that you interrupted me while calling on your colleague.
Well,
I said it's ironic.
Which is why I interrupted.
I'm trying.
But if you would not mind letting me have a follow-up, that would be fine. But
it's ironic, Jim, that not only you and the media attacked the president for his rhetoric, when they frequently lower the level of conversation in this country. Repeatedly, the media resorts to personal attacks without any content other than to incite anger. The media has attacked me personally on a number of occasions, including your own network, said I should be harassed as a life sentence, that I should be choked. ICE officials are not welcomed in their place of worship, and personal information is shared on the internet. When I was hosted by the Correspondents Association, of which almost all of you are members of, you brought a comedian up to attack my appearance and call me a traitor to my own gender. In fact, as I know, I'm the first press secretary in the history of the United States that's required Secret Service protection. The media continues to ratchet up the verbal assault against the president and everyone in this administration, and certainly we have a role to play, but the media has a role to play for the discourse in this country as well.
And sir, if you don't mind, if I may follow up, excuse me, You did not say in the course of those remarks that you just made that the press is not the enemy of the people. Are we to take it from what you just said? We all get put through the ringer. We all get put in the meat grinder in this town, and you're no exception. And I'm sorry that that happened to you. I wish that that had not happened. But for the sake of this room, the people who are in this room, this democracy, this country, all the people around the world are watching what you're saying, Sarah, and the White House for the United States of America, the President of the United States, should not refer to us as the enemy of the people. His own daughter acknowledges that, and all I'm asking you to do, Sarah, is to acknowledge that right now and right here.
I appreciate your passion. I share it. I've addressed this question. I've addressed my personal feelings. I'm here to speak on behalf of the president. He's made his comments clear.
On another matter.
Oh my God. Heal me, Jesus. So, and again, and like I said, Acosta is a frequent critic. He's a never Trump guy. He's a Hillary supporter all the way. There's nothing objective about these clowns. And this is where the hypocrisy comes into play. Case in point. James Bostic, host of A Conservative's Perspective. There's no misunderstanding where this cat's coming from. There's no way. There's no way you can misunderstand my perspective. It is that of the conservative. All right? But Jim Acosta and the little minions and the root weevils from CNN and CBS and all these other, you know, all these other cats, they want you to believe that they are objective, that they are fair and balanced and impartial. They are not. They're not by any stretch of the imagination. How many times has CNN had to publish retractions on things that they said? How many times? You see it all the time. In any newspaper, okay, and newspapers do this all the time. They'll make some outrageous claim on somebody. Then what they'll do is they'll find out, obviously, it was a lie. It was not supposed to be. There was, you know. And they print a retraction. But do they put the retraction on the front page where they have this same incendiary, libelous, slanderous headline? No. They put it on the page opposite the obituary column. And what happens here, and that's true. She is the first press secretary in the history of the United States that's required Secret Service protection. You remember Antifa, Occupy Wall Street, the pipeline protesters? All these, you know, Black Lives Matter, all these groups that proselytized and acted upon American citizens violently, padlocks put down in the toe of a couple of tube socks, and then used to crack somebody's nose or crack somebody on the hip with like a blackjack. Spit. Bottles of urine being thrown on people just because they went to a political rally of the candidate of their choice. They're not hurting anybody. They're not breaking anything. They're not doing anything. That's all they were doing. The right of peaceful assembly. Antifa doesn't care about the Constitution. The Democrats don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about the right to freedom of expression. Just look around at any college campus today. They're not interested in the rights of the citizen to keep and bear arms. They're not interested in the citizen's right from self-incrimination. They're not interested in the citizen being protected from unwarranted searches and seizures. They're not interested in the citizen. They are not interested in liberty. They are not interested in freedom. What they are interested in is power. And we can see that in, well, a prime example of the abuses of power that we see nowadays. In September, Robert Mueller indicted, it wasn't in September, I'm sorry, because we're coming up on September. I guess it was March, April maybe. There were 12 Russians who were indicted, 12 Russians and various business entities, Russian business entities that were indicted based on violations concerning the election meddling. So they have these now, and the thing of it is, this is a different group. These guys were a few months back, and there were 12 either Russian individuals or business entities, and one of the business entities that was indicted in that first indictment of Russians, who incidentally will never be in the United States. They will never step inside a United States courtroom. They will never be tried. It will never be adjudicated. Nothing will happen. They are empty indictments. These guys don't have any, it's never going to happen. But one of these business entities that was indicted didn't even exist as a business entity at the time it was alleged to have been meddling in the election. In other words, it was just a throw net tossed out, a drag net. Where only the names have been changed to protect the innocent. But there aren't any innocent people here, so we're not going to change any names. And so what's happened is now we have about 25 Russian nationals or Russian business entities indicted for various violations of election law, we can assume. What's happened with these indictments and these Russian individuals and business entities, both sides, they're being farmed out to junior prosecutors within the area wherever the trial is going to be happening. In other words, to Mueller's thinking,
Mueller.
To Mueller's thinking, sorry, I like Mr. Stein. He's got to get some distance between himself because he knows this is a nothing burger. Believe me, if there was something substantial, if there was any meat at all on this spindly, frail, brittle Russian skeleton, I can guarantee you that Bob Mueller would be first and foremost in front of the judge.
Mueller.
Bob Mueller. At any rate, you get the idea. So, and of course, Paul Manafort's trial's coming up, and they've already been slapped down. The prosecution's already been slapped down by the judge in that case, and I am ashamed to say I really don't have enough of the facts on there to talk about it tonight. And we'll get to it. I promise we'll come back to it because they want you to forget about this stuff. They throw it out there because it's a headline and they kind of have to. But again, like we talked earlier, the public has a short memory and they want you to see it, get mad for a little while and then forget it. And that's something that the Mueller investigation has relied on from the get-go, but there's nothing there. Collusion is not a crime, and if you watch carefully, you will see over the last couple of days, if you go back and Google it, Mueller's language. Did I say Mueller or Bueller?
Bueller.
No.
Bueller.
No. I'm pretty sure I said Mueller. At any rate, Mueller's language. Mueller's language is moving from collusion and shifting gears into another term, conspiracy. But nothing's going to happen here. Those 63 million Americans that voted for Donald Trump, again, they weren't voting for the Republican Party. They weren't voting for Mitch McConnell. They weren't voting for John McCain. They weren't voting for Lindsey Graham. They were voting for Donald Trump and Donald Trump's vision for a course correction for the country. I say this all the time, and I have to, because we have to keep it in mind. We have to be cognizant of that at all times.
Bueller. Bueller.
Okay, that's it. I'll stop that. Anyway, it's getting close to time to wrap up anyway. And I didn't get, daggone it, I didn't get to Daisy. We'll talk about that. Some of this stuff is timeless. The stupidity and the examples of stupidity that we see amongst these people, they're timeless. And I had another article this evening I wanted to share with you about eugenics. And I'm kind of glad I didn't, actually, because it kind of wound me up. And I think the show had a pretty decent flow the way it was. So in closing, let me say this about all that. We live in interesting times. And again, I love sharing this stuff with you. I really do. It's my thing. It's my jam. I enjoy doing it. I love looking through stuff like this. I mean, I'm doing it anyway, and that I can put it into some kind of format and throw together about an hour's stuff worth of, you know, kind of interesting news-wise to talk about and to share that with you. I'm glad. It makes me happy to do that. And, you know, it sure ain't for the money. Because there isn't any, but it's all cool. ACP can be heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Let's see what else we got. I haven't talked about Mark. Mark Hoffman's show Mondays and Thursdays. Monday, Patriot Nation. Now, he does a video component to his show, which I want to encourage you guys to check out on Facebook. And he's killing it numbers-wise with that. He's getting, you know, close to 2,000 people checking him out. And he's becoming a force to be reckoned with in alternative broadcasting. So you can check us out at blogtalkradio.com, Patriot Nation Radio Network, ACP, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The recorded version of the program is at Talk America Radio, talkamericaradio.org. You go there, they have a couple different audio streams, the Liberty and the Justice stream. And you can find ACP there amongst an outstanding collection of top drawer hosts and radio programs. And ACP is proud and honored to be among them. Thank you so much. We're going to go ahead. We've got 2 minutes left, and I don't think I got 2 minutes worth of anything else to say. So we're going to knock off just a little bit early tonight. I want to thank you all for the opportunity to visit. Thank you, Guinevere. To visit with you guys and hang out. And we will be back next Tuesday. Oh, ACP, you can find the podcast page at Facebook, Talk America Radio West Virginia, Talk America Radio Texas, two of the Talk America state affiliate pages we have at Facebook. Check those out. ACP's podcast archive page and the original Conservative Perspective page. Check them all out. Cowboy Logic, Restoring America Forum. Don Newman, Donna Fiducia, Cowboy Logic Radio. Got your own station now, 24/7, all Cowboy Logic, all the daggone cowboy time. Thank you, guys. God bless each and every one of you. God bless America. And we'll be back on Tuesday live, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. You guys take good care of yourself. We'll see you then.